You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Lou Brutus. Very happy to have this week as our featured artist, my dear close personal friend, Elias Soriano of Nonpoint. How are you, my friend?
I am wonderful, sir. What a great introduction. Thank you.
You know, I'm sure you're getting it in all the talks you're doing, but I think it bears repeating. Does it really seem like you're on 10 albums? Because I can't wrap my head around that with you guys.
Yeah, I don't think I have either yet, to be completely honest. It's, you know, I don't focus on the whole time thing and the number thing. You know, it's really about, you know, asking myself, you know, do I still have it in me? Do I still enjoy writing music? Do I still enjoy performing? Do I still, you know, enjoy the process and the mixing and the mastering and the interviews and meeting the fans and going to the merch table and, you know, going hard on stage and working through the ankles and the knees and the hoarse voice and all that stuff? And every single time it's like, yes, I still love to write music. Yes, I still love the mixing process and the mastering and the interviews and the shows and meeting the fans and hearing the stories and visiting towns and friends over again. It's, you know, it's exactly why, you know, I think we're on 10, but, you know, does it feel like 10? It never felt like the first one.
Tell me about how you approach now the, and you touched on it a little bit already, the craftsmanship that goes into making a record, the actual trudging into the studio and the dials and the recording and the retakes. That drives some people crazy, and some people really, really do enjoy the process, and some, you know, like it in the beginning, then they don't like it, then they relearn the love again. How is that for you now?
It's, you know what, on the physical, mental, and emotional side, the more you do it, definitely, it gets easier physically and, you know, emotionally attaching yourself to the schedule, you know, juggling family and, you know, everything attached to that. And then, you know, then doing the performance, actually tracking, all that stuff is, you know, gets easier and easier as it goes down. Writing the songs, you know, sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. You know, sometimes there's more arguments, sometimes there's less arguments. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's really up to you whether or not you want to, you know, go through the process. So as long as you're willing, you know, the magic's going to happen.
Give me an example of something that you might argue over, and then let me know how intense can arguments get when you're holed up in a studio for X amount of weeks.
I think arguments get, and you know, they get very intense in some cases, you know, but at the same time too, you know, the other side of that coin is sometimes there's such triumphant and, you know, timeless moments in the process when we're like, wow, we are sitting on a monster song. You know, those outweigh the, you know, the tension. You know, we at the end of the day are trying to dump our, you know, feelings and, you know, things that, you know, really rest on our shoulders because, you know, we're looking out at our audiences and our new faces and, you know, it's really about their opinion, whether or not I continue in what I do with my life. So, you know, knowing that your livelihood rests on whether or not, you know, people think you're cool. It's something that you play with. So, you know, you're vested in a way that, you know, people really don't understand until they, you know, try to look at this side of the coin. So, you know, arguments get intense. And just like any other friendship or any other marriage or partnership, you know, they get to those walkout moments sometimes. And, you know, but you look at the value in those, you know, champion moments, and you know, you try to make a good decision.
I'm Lou Brutus. Elias Soriano from Nonpoint is my guest. We are talking about the making of their new album, 10. I was going to start to call it X. How many people have called it X to you so far?
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's a talking point. So I don't mind that people are talking about it.
So where did you record it? Did you use a producer? And tell me about the time frame that this thing ran.
We recorded at Uptown Studios in Chicago, mm-hmm. in an amazing studio with engineer Rob Rucha and producer Fred Archinbault. We got thrown a bunch of full transparency, it was a Cinderella moment almost for us, because we just kept getting thrown, you know, obstacle after obstacle after obstacle to try to get this record done. Just schedule-wise, we had our original producer have a family emergency that he could not pull away from, and we had been wanting to record with him for 5 years. And when, you know, it came down to, hey, I don't want to have to leave you guys stranded in the middle of this record, you know, because I may have to pull away. It's this, you know, this is a very delicate time for my family. And we were like, oh my God, of course, you know, please, we'll figure it out on our end. You know, you please go be with your family. Don't worry about us. You know, Godspeed. You know, we want you and your family to be, you know, healthy and happy. So, we had to figure it out, and I think call it karma, or, you know, call it hustle or whatever. Label got on the phone. You know, I got on the phone with the management. Label got on the phone. We got producers that we were talking to during the beginning of the process again on the phone. And Fred Archinbault happened to be the first one that we got on the phone. Our A&R guy, you know, was like, hey, this guy is amazing at what he does. I think he can do, you know, some amazing things with you guys. Got on the phone with Fred. Conversation was like, hey, heard this stuff. Yeah, I mean, you guys seem like you got it there. I'm very good friends with Brian, because Brian Virtue was the producer that we were supposed to work with. Mm-hmm. And then Fred was like, I'm friends with Brian. I know, you know, his vibe and how he does things. We've worked on similar and the same project sometimes. So, you know, I definitely see what he's done for the last 2 months with, you know, talking to you guys, and over the last 5 years, and getting you guys back into this, you know, into a room together to write instead of sending stuff back and forth. And then he was like, I just want to make your record sound great, you know, and we're like, all right, let's do this, man. You know, if I had to, you know, part of my French, his quote was, I want to, you know, give you guys a kick in the dick record, basically, is what he said. And we're like, yeah, man, let's do this. So we were already in the studio, pretty much. We had already flown out to Chicago, the ones that weren't living in Chicago already. Got to the studio, got into the Airbnb, and started to do pre-production. And some of the notes that we had gone back and forth with Brian, and had the conversation with Fred. Fred came out, and literally, bang, we hit the ground running, and it was one of the easiest, just fulfilling, try everything, you know, go deep with ideas, layered song, just everything that as close as to what I really wanted the experience to be in the studio. You know, just shy of perfect, which is, you know, it's unbelievable. He was a great guy to work with. You know, he worked well with us. If we had an idea, he was like, all right, let's try it right now. And just jumped right in, you know, saw the idea through, even, you know, sometimes when we were, you know, thinking of calling it quits on the idea. And, you know, at the end, you know, you hear the product yourself. You know, the band is really, really proud of this record.
I always like to ask, is there anything at Uptown Studios that's super cool that you can do in between takes during your downtime? I have been to many studios. Some have classic pinball machines. They'll have like an arcade. Others will have full collections of old Cream and Circus magazines. What, if anything, does Uptown have?
Uptown has, I mean, you're in Uptown Chicago, so literally everything is within a stone's throw. You know, you got the Riviera Theater there. You got the Aragon there. Everything is, you know, literally right within a stone's throw. The food, there's everything that you can do. The train pulls up right there above the studio, so you can go right up to the train and take it anywhere you need to go. So it's really easy to get there, and there's so many things to do. The laundry list would be too long to even list.
Did you, in fact, make it to Peace Pizza?
No, because I went vegan when I was during this last record. So no cheese for me.
Wow.
Just dodging it.
Tell me about that. Are you still vegan? Tell me what you eat, how you feel, and what it's done for your body.
I feel great. I lost, like, at one point 195, and I'm 158 now.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. But I feel great. I don't take as much coffee in the morning. My numbers are off the charts, and I have energy like I've never had before. It's not for everybody. I did it for health reasons. You know, I have a daughter now. I want to see her graduate high school and college. And, you know, I do a lot of touring, and my choices are really limited. So, you know, sometimes I have to stray because, you know, I have to eat. I would say 95% of my diet is vegan, and you know, I don't do any dairy or any of that when I can avoid it. You know, we have vegan night at the house, and normally it's really good. I cook, so you know, it's
yeah, that's a help. That's a help.
Too much of, yeah. I tell everybody that wants to try it, you know, eat out for a week. You got to eat out for a week vegan, let somebody else cook it for you that knows what they're doing, so that way you can go, okay, I can do this. Or, no, taste isn't right, let me try vegetarian. I can do the cheese and the eggs and that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes I have to do vegetarian just because, I have no other option.
Yeah. And how are you on sugar consumption?
I don't take sugar in my coffee anymore. But I have the biggest sweet tooth in the world. I'm a pastries and, you know, but I still, that's what I cheat with. You know, I have as much bread and as much pasta and as much rice as I absolutely want. You know, if I want to eat that every day on top of, you know, all the greens and stuff that I eat. But, you know, when I was in Destin, I had a, you know, blackened piece of red snapper, man. You know, if you know, the label takes me out to, you know, dinner to a steakhouse, and you know, it's like, yo, order a softball steak, I'm gonna order a softball steak, you know? I'm gonna cheat when it's time. And you know, but the majority of my diet is gonna be so that way I can see my family, bro.
All right, now back to the record. This was a relatively quick recording process. I'm assuming you went in there then pretty well loaded with songs.
Yeah, we knew what we were going to record. And I think we trimmed one song, we did a lot of work right away. I mean, Fred hit the ground running. He got there and, you know, the schedule was, you know, already talked about, and you know, we went in. So it was a blank, man. I think it was like 23 days later, we were done, and we were looking at each other like, oh my God, we're done a day early. What are we to do with ourselves? You know, because we stayed on schedule and really worked hard.
Did you take advantage of that last day? Did you throw some cover songs or anything together?
I went home, see my family.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. No doubt.
And are there any particular themes that go through the lyrics of all of the songs or some of the songs or recur on the album?
A little bit of the state of things. I mean, we were coming from the Poison Red, which, you know, said what it said.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 is really a body of work that talks about the consequences of everything that we're sitting in right now. I mean, you look around everything. I moved down to Florida and I've not even been here 2 months, and you know, the coasts are, you know, unvisitable. You know, there's dead fish everywhere, and there's, you know, brackish water that's killing algae, red algae that's just, you know, destroying the ecosystems around us. And, you know, what could have gotten away has gone to other places, and, you know, what stayed is dead and floating in the water. So it's this record, you know, is talking about all that stuff that we're kind of, you know, sitting in, how feelings are, how divided everybody kind of feels, and, you know, the chaos everywhere around the world, and, you know, people trying to, just take care of themselves while all this stuff is like popping off around them. You know, it's hard to swallow. I didn't grow up this way, even though I grew up with, Reagan and Gorbachev when I was very, very small. You know, hearing, you know, all of those rumbles on television and watching that go into, you know, the Iraq war, and then, you know, go into the, the post 9/11 stuff. It seemed to just escalate and escalate and escalate over time. And, you know, I can't help but to write about it. It's the only way that I can kind of talk about it without, you know, getting people, riled up. And I don't want to do that. That's not the point of it. The point of it is to have an open discussion about it, so that way we can all, you know, start feeling safer, you know, start feeling better about our children going to school, start feeling better about, you know, the friendships that we have and may have even lost over the last couple of years because of, you know, at the end of the day, silly, you know, bull, you know. Yeah. So it touches on all that, and, you know, how I've dealt with relationship, almost severing friendships because of things. And, you know, it, like I said, it's the lyric of the consequence.
If you, and I think you've covered it pretty well, is there anything more you would like to say specifically about chaos and earthquakes, though?
That's a fun song to play. I didn't expect the label to pick it, as one to go with first.
Yeah.
It was exciting to hear them and their radio staff going, this is what we need to go with first. And we're like, hey, if you, man, I'll play that every night. Are you kidding me? I'd love to play that every night. It's a fun song to play. It's got fun verses, you know, a lot of really abstract imagery. And again, you know, state of things kind of lyrics, so people can kind of relate and, you know, get those feelings up to the surface a little bit in a therapeutic kind of way, hopefully for them. But for me, it's like seeing the faces and everybody smiling and singing it. You know, we've only got to play it a couple times, and it's a fun song to watch the reaction happen from.
Tell me about the video shoot for it.
Video shoot was with Eric Riker.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that also did Generation Idiot. He is amazing. Between him and, you know, the Vision and Fort Knox, the place that we actually shot the video, it was a very exciting process. And then the product of that process was, I couldn't believe it when I saw the video, how movie quality, capturing the emotion. The boys all did amazing live performances. The lighting was right. The shots were all right. It was just like, great shot, great shot, great shot, great shot. And then, you know, telling the story on top of everything, the actress that we used was great. You know, the set was unbelievable. So it was a fun project to do. We're definitely excited to do the second one with him.
How long of a shoot was it?
It was a 2-day process. They set it all up pretty much the first day, and we shot everything on the second day. But it was an all day thing. It was an all day affair.
And again, you know, back to earlier portion of our conversation, it can be kind of a grueling 2 days. But is this still a thing that you enjoy doing? Do you like the nitty gritty of physically making a video and getting it all done?
Oh yeah, man! You get to play in front of a camera. You know, you're living out your 5-year-old to about, I'd say, 14-year-old till you started feeling too cool to do that stuff. You know, kind of dream again. So, you know, I mean, come on! You got to have fun with your life, and if anything, as much fun as you can with your job, or you're just missing out.
I still sing in front of a mirror with a hairbrush in the morning when I'm getting ready. I'm not ashamed to say
it. See?
Elias Soriano. Oh, go ahead.
No. It's always fun to hear that, you know, still to this day, because I used to use my father's from the service when he hurt his foot in the service. I used to use his crutch. And if you know a crutch, if you've ever had to use a crutch, it has that foam top that sits underneath your armpit.
Yeah.
And I used to yank that off like a wireless mic before wireless mics were even around, bro. I was innovative.
Did you ever use it as a machine gun, too? Because I found crutches could be a machine gun as well.
Of course, through my G.I. Joe stage.
Yeah, there you go, there you go.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know you and I were born in neighboring cities?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you were born in Passaic, New Jersey, I believe.
Yes, I was.
I was born in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh man, that's like wearing a patch on your arm. I was in Vietnam. I'm like, yeah, I lived in Newark.
Man, I was born into the projects in Newark, so even better.
Yeah, I lived in my youth we lived in Newark for a little while in Patterson. Again, another badge on your arm.
Yeah.
But then we got to Florida before I got too old.
Yeah, we moved out of Newark when I was 2 because things were really, you know, I'm older than you. Things were getting crazy there. But Passaic, your hometown, had a great theater at 326 Monroe Street. If I remember correctly, there was a place called the Capitol Theater that I used to go see rock shows when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old.
Oh yeah. We left Passaic when I believe when I was 2, you know. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be 3 next year. You know, I got to get my act together. I grabbed the wife and kid. You know, I moved on, man. I was like, I got to get my act together. I got to get it.
Yeah. What are the tour plans for you guys the rest of the year and into 2019?
We are doing, it's Us, He Is Legend, going through multiple cities. Lexington, Kentucky, is where it starts, and it ends in the Midwest, I believe in Chicago. It's about 4 weeks, but tickets are on sale, and we're doing many, many new songs off the new record, along with a lot of the favorites. We're definitely packing in the set. It's going to be a long set. We enjoy doing the long set this last weekend in Madison for their 21 show, and we really want to do this on this next run. So it's going to be an action-packed tour.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.